Jesus, are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone.
Amen.
Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that will know. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sinned that to the world are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that will know. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus, for Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that will know. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. What are you doing for Jesus as you journey through life? Sowing the grain for the harvest, or scattering seeds of strife? What are you doing for Jesus? What are you doing as the days go by? What are you doing for Jesus? What are you doing as the days go by? What are you doing for Jesus? Are you striving each day by little acts of kindness to brighten someone's way? What are you doing for Jesus? What are you doing as the setting of sun. Hasten to tell the glad tidings, lest you leave some work undone. What are you doing? Doing for Jesus? What are you doing as the days go by? What are you doing? Doing for Jesus? What are you doing as the days go by?
What are we doing for Jesus? Now, Father in heaven, I ask that you will speak through your word to your people tonight. Let us hear not only, not merely this frail human voice. At best, it's still frail compared to what you want to do for us. But despite the frailty, let us hear your voice. And let us take appropriate action. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. This evening, shutdown is my theme. Revelation 15, verses 5 through 8, describes a time when Jesus will no longer be in the sanctuary, when the heavenly sanctuary will experience shutdown. Why am I talking about shutdown? Because this is the second day when the United States government has entered a shutdown, an economic shutdown, a shutdown of many of the accepted, expected, anticipated services. Gridlock because of the Congress. House of Representatives, gridlock, a partial shutdown. Not everything is shut down, but enough shut down to cripple thousands of children, deprive thousands of children of food, meals, to deprive senior citizens of expected services. Gridlock in the House of Congress. A shutdown. And I read an estimate today that the cost of this shutdown is approximately $1.6 billion a day. $600 million a day. Now, there's an old saying among African Americans that when white America gets a cold, black America gets the flu. Well, we've expanded that saying to say when the United States gets a cold, the world gets the flu. When the United States gets the flu, the world gets pneumonia. The meaning of the shutdown. Soon a day is coming when heaven shuts down. Not partially, but totally.
Yes.
Revelation 8:1 gives us a description of a shutdown in heaven. It says, there was silence in heaven. Think of it. A shutdown when no prayer is heard in heaven, and no prayer is answered in heaven. Shut down. Now, heaven's total, not partial, total shutdown involves some awful implications for everybody. First, it implies that we must look. Let's take a look at a sanctuary shutdown. What it means, the implications, as we look at a sanctuary, the sanctuary shutdown. Let's look at a sanctuary shutdown. Matthew 27 and Colossians 2 describes a sanctuary shutdown. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John describe this shutdown, a sanctuary shutdown, the earthly temple in Matthew 27. And as we look at it, here is the description of the shutdown. It says that there was darkness over the land. Through history and prophecy, the sanctuary on earth pointed to Jesus Christ. Every article, every item of that sanctuary described some aspect of his character, of his person, of his love, of his ability, of his saving power. In other words, as you looked at the earthly sanctuary, you saw Jesus in type and prophecy. So as we look at the earthly sanctuary through history and its prophecy, we behold the Lamb of God. There were seven miracles at Calvary that helps us to see, understand the sanctuary shutdown. Look at these seven miracles of Calvary that give us a glimpse of Jesus. And incidentally, the servant of the Lord says, if we had one glimpse of Jesus, has more power than all of the teachings and doctrines and pronouncements and historical documents of the ages to change human life. One look at Jesus.
A glimpse tonight, Lord.
One glimpse. Now, so as we look at Calvary, and we look at the sanctuary, we look at the sanctuary pointed to Calvary and to what Jesus would do. There are seven miracles of Calvary. The capture, torture, the accusation of Jesus. No, that wasn't a miracle. But his silence in the midst of his capture and torture and accusations against him. And non-retaliation. His non-violent retaliation. That was miracle one. Number two, the fact that he died at all. Now first, we have to recognize that God can't die. He's immortal. And Christ Jesus was God and man. And of course, when Jesus died, it was the human nature that died. His divinity did not die. Divinity stepped out while humanity died. And yet even that death of humanity is a mystery because death had no claim upon him. Death comes because of sin. He had no sin. He knew no sin. The only sin that he experienced was your sin and my sin that he took upon himself. So the fact that he died was a miracle. Miracle number three, the darkness and the quake, earthquake. Nature's sympathy. Matthew 27 and 45 talks about the sundown at noon and how the earth shook and the rocks were rent asunder, the graves were opened. It was sundown at noon. What a miracle at Calvary. And this is all revolving around that sanctuary, earthly sanctuary. Miracle number four, the thief. A thief was saved, converted on a cross. Miracle number five, the graves were opened when that earthquake shook the whole area. And yet the temple was not destroyed. But the graves were opened and many of the dead came forth. Jude indicates there might have been 10,000 that ascended to heaven when he ascended and will come back. 10,000 saints, Jude says, not angels, saints will come back from heaven with him. 10,000 came out of the graves when he died and when he rose. They rose with him, Matthew 27 says. Miracle number six, the veil of the temple was rent. Not from the bottom to the top, but from top to the bottom. The veil, there's such a miracle there, and we'll talk about it another time if the Lord permits. Miracle number seven, the centurion, Joseph, and Nicodemus were convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, these were seven miracles of Calvary, all revolving around that sanctuary. The rent veil, top to bottom. Now, here's the thing. It would take 300 to 500 men to move that veil. And yet, nothing in the temple was destroyed or marred. Only the veil of the temple was rent. Minds were aroused to search, and the attention was called to the prophecies. And when they saw that veil rent, there were many people, Desire of Ages says, that never again would they participate in the feast. They would search to find out whether he was the Messiah or to prove that he wasn't the Messiah. And many of them were convinced that he was the Messiah. And so in our time, just as the rent veil and all of these miracles at Calvary, around the sanctuary and around Calvary, it aroused their attention and caused them to search the scriptures, and many of them were convinced. We're told in Great Controversy, page 605 and 606, that soon the truth will have a power it could not have had before when we see things like we are witnessing now shut down. When the temple was shut down, when the veil was rent in twain, the earthly temple was shut down. The meaning of that temple, shut down. As we look at it, we get a glimpse of what the implications are for us today. Now, second, imagine heaven for one day shut down. Imagine what it would be like if heaven were to shut down for one day. The United States government is in its second day of a shutdown, and people are already feeling the consequences, the economic struggle. Now, here's the point. Can you and I make it one day in a shutdown when Jesus is no longer the mediator or the intercessor in the heavenly sanctuary? Could you and I make it one day without Jesus?
No way.
Think about that. Can we make it one day without the Lord? The Lord says, now he tells us, John 15:5, without me, you can do how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. Job answers, and he says this to our question. Can we make it one day without the Lord? Imagine one day without the Lord. Job in chapter 34, verse 14, 17 says, if he would set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit, if he decided, I'm going to read this from the Message translation. If he decided to hold his breath, every man, woman, and child would die for lack of air. If the Lord would hold his breath, his air, for one day, we'd all be dead.
Don't hold your breath,
can
Lord.
We make it without, if the Lord were not to supply the food, one Now, I want to put our complaints into perspective. You see, a lot of us complain about the way things go and how things happen. And the servant of the Lord says, if any trial arises, some people begin to look back and think they have a hard time. But we don't know, he says, what purifying trials are. Sometimes we make trials for ourselves, imagine trials, and are easily discouraged, easily hurt. I'm quoting from volume one. Easily hurt. Self-dignity is quick to feel. They injure themselves, injure others, and injure the cause. Satan magnifies their trials and puts thoughts into their minds that, if given way to, will destroy their infinite influence and usefulness. I saw, the servant of the Lord says, that if the hand of God should be taken away from them, a shutdown, and they be left subject to disease and death, then they would know what trouble is. We think we know what trouble is now. If the Lord were to shut it down, then we would know what trouble it is, what trouble is. She goes on to say that trials would exist in greater power and number were we to refuse obedience to Christ and become the servants of Satan and slaves of sin. That's what a shutdown would mean. I'm trying to put our complaints into perspective. If God were to remove his hand from your life and mine, we would really have something to complain about if Jesus weren't in our lives. Somebody put it this way. This is the way I heard it as a youngster. This is in the African-American community. They say it like this. From the time we're born till you ride in the hearse, things are never so bad that they couldn't be worse. Yes, and I believe the longer I live, the more I see that the wisdom in that. Things are not as bad as they could be from the time we're born till we ride in the hearse. In other words, imagine what life would be if the Lord shut it down one day. We'd have a great without. Without me, you can do nothing.
Nothing.
All those who know not God and forsake God, we would be without a Sabbath rest. If the Lord shut it down, we would be without a Bible, without righteousness. We'd have, without him, homes without peace, marriages without love, government without integrity. Somebody's saying we're already there. Youth without ideals, people without morals, leaders without scruples, children without self-control. Mothers without wisdom, poverty without relief, sickness without remedy. There was a child who was complaining, and he said, he was crying, and he was saying they were trying to get ready for Sabbath school. I have an aunt, I call her my aunt too, that sings, "Don't be late for Sabbath school." Well, the child was saying, "I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to Sabbath school. I don't want to go to church." And so they gave the child, they let the child, trying to calm him down, to play with his toy city. And so the dad came along and took the church out of the toy city. Here was a city without a church. Shut down. Now, if you take the church out, then you must take Jesus out too, because Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. And if you take the church out, you take Jesus out. And if you take Jesus out, you see, Jesus contributes through the church. He adds, Acts 2 says, he adds to the church daily such as should be saved. If you take Jesus out and the church out, guess what else you'd have to take out? You'd have to take out every school, all the hospitals, the doctors, the Bill of Rights,
freedom, justice, science, technology. This would be a shutdown. I'm talking about if there was a day without Jesus, a great day, a shutdown. For one day without Jesus, we'd have a great without. In other words, if Jesus is out of the sanctuary, it's shut down. It would be like if you took the battery out of your car. What would happen? Shut down. Take the prescription, the medicine, the prescription from the doctor. Get rid of them. Take the love out of your marriage. What would happen? Shut down. Take the music out of the choir. What will happen? Shut down. Take the Bible and the Holy Spirit from the church. Shut down. This would be like taking matter out of physics, heat out of the fire, taking sugar out of the honey, fragrance from the flowers. It would be taking numbers from your mathematics, taking the rest out of the Sabbath, water out of the ocean, and oxygen out of the air. Then we know what life would be like without Jesus. It would be shut down. Servant of the Lord put it this way. To remove the cross from the Christian would be like blotting the sun out of the sky. Shut down. Well, imagine if heaven shut down for one day. That would be a cry, just as it was in when that earthly sanctuary, when the veil was rent from top to bottom. And when Jesus said, "It is finished." The earthquake and the darkness and all of that, those seven miracles of Calvary. Zabajus says that there was a cry that went up for thousands of people searching for Jesus, for the healer. So if we had a shutdown, if Jesus shuts down, steps out of that most holy place as mediator, intercessor, in other words, it would be as though the cry goes up when the fire is burning. The house is on fire, and there's no fire department because it's shut down. When people are sick and they go to the hospital and can't get in, the hospital's closed, shut down. We need food. But the supermarkets are shut down. And there's no farm to produce food. The pharmacy is closed, shut down. And when you need a policeman, you can't find him because the police department is shut down. The water company is shut down. So the Lord says in Desire of Ages, page 121, every earthly support will soon be cut off. Shut down. A poet put it like this. Here's how a poet put it. And I don't think I could say it. I don't think I could say it any better. It's just a good thing God above has never gone on strike because he wasn't treated fair or things he didn't like. If he ever once sat down and said, "That's it, I'm through. I've had enough of those on earth, and this is what I'll do. I'll give my orders to the sun. Cut off your heat supply. And to the moon, give no more light, and run those oceans dry." Then, just to make it tough and put the pressure on, turn off the air and oxygen till every breath is gone. Do you know he'd be justified if fairness was the game? For no one has been more abused or treated with disdain than God. Yet he carries on supplying you and me with all the favors of his grace and everything for free. Men say they want a better deal, so on strike they go. But what a deal we've given to God, whom everything we owe. We don't care who we hurt or harm to gain the things we like. But what a mess we'd be in if God should go on strike. Job said if he decided to hold his breath, every man, woman, and child would die for lack of air. Shut down. Well, my third point is that when the shutdown does occur, when heaven, the shutdown in Revelation 15, when Jesus leaves the sanctuary, it says no man was able to go there. No prayer will be there. When he leaves, the Bible indicates that we will be unaware, and that we are unaware of the time frame. The truth is, the Bible says if you fail to read your Bible now, and if you fail, you don't understand your Bible now, then, and if we don't correct it, if you don't know, we need to correct that. Revelation 3, verse 3 says, we need to repent, for if you don't watch, I will come to you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. So he didn't say you will never know. He says if you don't watch and pray, you won't know. But if you do watch, you will know. Now, why must we know the time? Romans 13, Paul says, we know the time. We must know the time. We must know when it's near, even at the doors. Paul says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. We must know the time. And 2 Chronicles 12:32 says, we must not only know the time, but we must be like the sons of Issachar, who knew the times and what they ought to do. We must not only know the time, but we need to know our duty, what we ought to do. Now the question is, why is it so hard to recognize when the United States government is having a shutdown? Why is it hard for us to recognize this as a sign of the times? I want to submit two reasons why it's hard for us to recognize and to be, it's so easy to be unaware of the time in which we're living. Unaware. First, it's because the time of what Satan is doing is disguised. Desire of Ages, and I don't have time to read it, but it's a great controversy, says that the Sunday movement is making its way in disguise, in darkness. I'm submitting to you that this shutdown, it looks like it's only an economic thing, but I'm submitting to you that it is Satan's working to get his national Sunday law in place.
Yes.
That time of trouble, it's in disguise. We don't recognize it. It looks like an economic thing, but Desire of Ages, a great controversy says Satan works in disguise. He cloaks and clothes and disguises his plan and his strategy and his aim and objective in good causes and sometimes events like this. So we don't recognize it because it's disguised. And the second reason is even more serious, that the reason we're unaware of the time frame in which we are living, that we are living in a time of total shutdown, not just a partial economic temporary shutdown by one government. And remember, certainly the Lord tells us the whole world will follow the example of the United States. So if we get a cold, the world is going to get the flu. If the United States gets the flu, the world is going to have pneumonia. Shutdown. A shutdown here is going to impact the world. It's the Revelation 13 in disguise. But set number two, we're told in the great controversy that when the shutdown in heaven occurs, when the Savior leaves the sanctuary, when the intercessor, mediator leaves, it will happen suddenly and it will not be announced. We won't know it. We'll be unaware. Just as in when Jesus died on the cross, when that veil, the temple veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, not bottom to top, that the services went on, but the great controversy says they were unaware that it no longer had any meaning or significance. It was over. They were unaware that God had already departed from the temple. They were unaware. They continued the sacrifices. They continued the services. They continued the songs, the ritual. They continued the worship services and the festivals and the feasts. But he was no longer there. The veil of the temple was ripped. Now, the question is, it's going to happen that same way in our time. We will not know. The question is, will we ever know? Amos 3 tells us that if we are serving the Lord, it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing. Would you repeat it with me? Nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophets. He will do nothing without revealing. So will we ever know? Yes, we will know. He will do nothing. He will not shut it down without letting us know. We will not know. We will be unaware when he has the shutdown in heaven. But we will soon know if we watch and pray. So just as I want to give you examples. How did they know? Luke 21:20, Jesus said, when you see the armies surrounding Jerusalem, know that the desolation is near. And then he said, leave Jerusalem. Don't come back for anything. Get out right then. How did they know? The Christians watched for 40 years. And when they saw the army surrounded, they knew because of God's revelation through Jesus Christ. Revelation, he had warned them. It was prophecy. Jesus had told them, he will do nothing without letting us know. You will know if you serve him and trust him and obey him. Nothing will happen. Yes, it will happen before we know. But if you serve and love and trust him, he will let you know that it's shut down. You will know. Remember, Abraham, he knew that Sodom was about to be destroyed. Genesis 18. And even Lot knew because the angels came and told him, get out. How did they know? How did Moses know that the time for Israel to come out of Egypt had come? Prophecy. He knew the scripture. He knew the time that God had told Abraham 400 years. He knew the prophecy, but also a personal experience, a personal revelation from God about the same prophecy. How did Abraham know? Abraham knew about it through revelation. God revealed it to him 400 years. How did Noah know when the flood was going to come? God told him 120 years. He knew. And in the 120th year, he also knew when Methuselah dies, it will come. He also knew 7 days before it happened, by revelation, in the 120th year, God said to him, get on board. The ark is finished. The work is finished. 7 days before it was shut down, the opportunity for salvation was shut down 7 days before the flood came. How did Lot know? The angels came and told Lot. Revelation. How did the early Christians know? It was prophecy. And how will we know? Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy. And I want to close with this idea. We knew it was going to happen. That's Matthew 24, verse 33. Matthew, Jesus said that when you see certain things happen, a shutdown, it's disguised. But when you see certain things happen, no. He didn't say guess. No, but it's near even at the doors. And then when the flood came, he used that about the flood, how they, it says they didn't know when the flood came. It took them all away. But Noah knew, and his family knew. How did they know? Well, we're told in the book Last Days Events and several other places, Evangelism 2, that when Jesus steps out of the sanctuary, some terrible things will happen. Judgments will come. Plagues will fall. And the servant of the Lord says there were people that you heard in visions. You heard people saying, we knew. So the question is, will we ever know when the shutdown occurs? People will be heard saying, we knew. When the first plague falls, we know that it's over. When we see, we're told in volume 5, Testimonies, that when you see the national law of persecution, when you see that NFL, that you and I will know that probation is almost over. It is, he says, then it is time to leave the large cities. Some people are leaving the large cities before then. But she says, then, volume 4, it's time to leave the large cities in preparation to leave the smaller cities. Then. We knew it was going to happen. We knew these judgments were going to come, she heard them say. And Jesus said, when you see these things happen, know that it's near. And there were people around who will be standing around us saying, you knew? You knew this was going to happen? And Mark 24:33, it says, the saints will say, they will say it when you see it. We knew it was going to come. Why, if you knew it, why didn't you tell me? So here's the thing. Sharing and telling it will bless them and bless you. Think about it. When heaven shuts down, the summer will be ended. The harvest will be past. No more baptisms. No more weddings. No more conversions. No more opportunity. No more! Isaiah 1:18. Skins of scarlet, white as snow. No more Psalm 51. No more! was history's largest shutdown. Small actions and choices can end with a devastating personal consequence. One sagging electrical line. Sin often starts with a small choice, but the end result is ruined families, ruined churches, ruined lives. A blackout, a shutdown was caused. Well, guess what? Isaiah says we should rise and shine, for our light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth. That's a shutdown. Deep darkness, gross darkness, the people. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. I saw another angel. That's Isaiah 60. I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. The point I'm making is that our solution is we know what's coming. We know there's a shutdown, a total shutdown coming. It's time for us to tell it, to share it. And guess what will happen if you and I share it? Steps to Christ is this. The effort to bless others will react in blessing upon ourselves. God will bless his people, volume 3, page 437, only when they try to be a blessing to others. So, don't let it be said, we know, I knew the judgments were coming, but I didn't know they would come so soon. That's the last day's events, volume 9. Others with agonized voices will say, you knew? Why didn't you tell me? No. Our effort to share, to let the light shine, and to share the message, the truth with others about his coming, his death, and the power of his blood today, while he can be found, will react upon blessing upon ourselves as we bless others. I want to be that blessing, don't you? When there is the shutdown, total shutdown in heaven, I want to be on his side, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told that Jesus would come again someday. But the word of God is true. He redeemed his chosen few. Don't lose hope, soon Christ Jesus will descend. Signs of the times are everywhere, and there's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eye upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh. Wars and strife on every hand, and violence fills our land. Still some people doubt he'll come again. But the word of God is true.
It's true.
He'll redeem his chosen few. Don't lose hope. Soon Christ Jesus will descend. Signs of the times are everywhere. there's a brand new feeling in the air. Keep your eyes upon the eastern sky. Lift up your head. Lift up your head. Lift up your head. Redemption of Christ.
The creative energy that you gave to Elder Brewer and to Elder Earl as well. You who called worlds into existence by your word, by your command, and we see the power in the message tonight that it is causing my mind to be all over the place, because so much has been said. But I recognize your promise, and I want to accept your will anew, and I want to receive you into my heart and into my soul, that with the new life that you have given to me just tonight, it will help to transform my nature. As I heard about divinity that stepped away and the nature of Jesus died, I pray that each of us on this line will seek for a recreation of your image in our lives. Show us how to keep you before us. And while there is shutdown in America, hallelujah, there is no shutdown by the throne of grace.
Amen.
Given us, as Peggy said, fresh bread. And may our prayers take the form of new conversation with you, fresh conversation with you, so that we can learn how to speak with you as we can speak to our best friends here on earth. For everyone that listened, I know that I was moved, and I just pray that you will continue to keep your servants as they preach, as they sing, as prayers are offered. In your great and wonderful name, I ask it all. Amen.
I want to ask you, I want to thank you and praise you.
Yes.
That even at this moment, that there are people demon-possessed, and there is hope for them.
Oh, yes.
Demons can be cast out. But soon, when heaven shuts down, demons will have their run and their play.
Mm.
There are sick people that now we pray for, and we see sickness healed.
Oh, yes.
But soon, our prayers will be useless going into the temple. Sick people will not get well unless they're in Christ. Now there are homes that we pray for, and there's hope. There are prisoners of hope for these broken families and rebellious children, marriages that are fractured. But now we can pray, and you step in and mend broken families, and you heal the wounds. But when it's shut down, marriages will never be able to mend. So, Lord, we thank you that now, while the blood is still running warm in our bodies, now, while it's still day, and now, before the night comes when no man can work and no man can pray, before that shutdown, now you can hear us. And we can make our calling and election sure.
Lord,
so I ask you now,
Lord,
cover us with your blood. Give us a fresh anointing and an experience
with the Holy Spirit, even now, dear Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.